Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in Sun City, to bring you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And this week, we've got another special guest for you, and J.R. is very, very, very excited about this one. Who do we got?
So, and James, if you're listening today, hang in there. You're going to like this guest. So the last guest we had on, you were iffy on this one's a good one. And I'm going to try to do most of the talking with our guest. We'll try to keep Anthony muted as much as possible. So today is a big day for us. You know, when Anthony says we're bringing you stuff you might not hear on the other radio shows, this is something you've heard on another radio show. We have got Joe Jaquint with us. So Joe is with the Patriot Radio News Hour, and I know you've heard us mention this over the years. I have been a loyal listener of Joe's when I can, when I'm not in appointments, for at least a decade. I turned Anthony on to Joe about 6 years ago when he came in the office. And the odd thing, I have probably sent between 200 and 250 people over to Joe, and I've never met him. So after the show, we have committed to meet each other in person and help each other in business. So let me give you a little background, then I'm going to turn it over to Joe to give you some further background. And yes, Joe, I stole this directly off of the Salem website. So Patriot Trading Group was founded in 1996 and serves as a leader in providing hard assets directly into the hands of its customers. Patriot has flourished during this time by being a different type of hard asset company, believing in treating every customer with honesty and respect while providing a daily education through its radio program and its website. So this, and I can tell you what, I mean, we're going to tell you how to find Joe a couple times, but wait till you hear this guy. What do you think, Joe? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, JR, thank you so much, Anthony, for not only allowing me to come on, being fans of the show that I've done. I've started listening to you guys. One of my customers told me about you guys, and that's kind of how all of this came about. But I've been doing radio shows for over two decades and really trying to educate people about diversification, you know, not having it, you know, all of your money in any one place, whether it be the stock market, the bank, housing, what have you, having that balanced portfolio. Obviously, gold and silver have done extremely well as the fiat money system, the debt money system continues to race ahead, and just really trying to educate people on things that maybe you won't find on the cheerleading stations like the, you know, the Fox and the CNBCs. And, you know, I don't know about everybody else. I still have DirecTV. I'm still not that hip, but there's like six different stock channels out there, you know, all telling you the same thing. So we just try to educate everybody and do it in a non-salesy way as best we can. And of course, the biggest part is not ripping people off. That's the other big thing, right? Treating people the right way. We're going to make a little bit of money, but we're going to be here for you. We're going to treat you fairly. And the nice part about it is we don't make outbound phone calls. We don't contact our clients. We don't do any of that stuff. It's the exact opposite of what sales is. If you want to talk to us, if you want to ask questions, you want to buy products from us, you're going to have to pick up the phone and call us.
Yeah, you're the resource. That's nice.
That's it.
Not a salesperson, a resource for those that need you.
And I, again, listened to you for over a decade. I'll tell you what, I mean, I used to talk about having a radio show years ago, and I thought the one thing I don't want to do is have an hour-long infomercial. I want to bring people current events, how they're going to affect our future, our finances, our lives. When I started listening to you, I was like, that's exactly what I would do. And I'm going to warn people, there are two Joe Jaquins. There is the calm, the measured Joe, and there is the excitable, animated Joe. If you want to fit in with our show, get excited with us today, Joe, because I can tell you what, we are, you know, our motto is we want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. I have been so tempted to steal one of your mottos that I read years ago. What is it? We want to comfort the disturbed and disturb
the comfortable.
How on earth right now in this world are how come half the country is comfortable right now? Last night was the big unveiling of the new season of The Masked Singer. My wife's one of them. She sits on the couch watching that watching that wonderful show. And I'm over here looking at YouTube videos on unrest in different cities and countries. And I just, you know, our whole thing, I've kindly admitted to myself recently, we do want you scared because people are not preparing. You know, my heartburn, we've been on the radio for 2.5 years telling people there are all these things coming your way. We need you prepared. And now I'm shouting because I think it's crunch time. So, I listen to your show and you definitely make people aware. You shake people up and you never run out of things to say. That's us. And you're doing it 5 hours a week. We're doing it 1 hour a week.
Yeah. And the funny part is after I do the Gold Show, if you will, and like you said, it's not an infomercial. We're talking all the latest things. We go over all the economic reports. Like tomorrow, we're going to get the CPE deflator inflation report. We're going to talk all about that, the effects of that. We talked about this week, like Warren Buffett dumping more stock and of course, talking about what's going on in the treasury markets and the debt markets and, you know, the government shutdown and all these other things. There's no lack of things to talk about. But the biggest thing is they created the boom and bust cycle. I didn't create it. You didn't create it. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what we have. And we're just getting ready. You know, unfortunately, they've decided, obviously, with the rate cuts that we saw last week, they've decided, hey, we rather just go for the big bubble blow off top, which I think is coming. And I hope people are getting ready for 2025. I called 2024 this whole year. I call it the year of chaos. I said that in January. I've been saying it all along. This is going to be a chaotic year. It's been a chaotic. Look at all the things that have happened. Of course, we got the election coming on November 5th. Well, who knows what this country is going to look like come the 6th. But after all of that, I hope people are ready for 2025 and beyond, because if they aren't, and they're not doing what they need to do, they're going to be in a world of hurt. There's no doubt about it. And there's ways to not be in that situation. Talking to guys like you, talking to guys like me, you can really do a lot of things to look out for yourself. If you think somebody else is going to look out for you, that's exactly what they want. I'm just going to put my head down, watch, as you said, The Masked Singer, Dancing with the Stars. Oh, what happened with P. Diddy and all this other stuff? Hey, that's great. Be ready for the consequences of not being prepared.
Amen. Yeah, P. Diddy, it's football season. Who cares about the end of the world? It's football season. So yeah, no. And you hit a couple of things. I do want to get into some of the things that you talk about regularly and we talk about weekly, you know, government shutdown. What government shutdown? I know about it. You know about it. Most of this country has no idea about the government shutdown, and we've already averted it. So we don't have to have a distraction for the political season. We don't have to discuss it. Yeah. Fed lowering the interest rate. We dug into that last week. One of my problems with that whole thing, the Fed is data dependent. I mean, the Fed, you know, they're forward looking. All the data is flawed. So when you're data dependent, you're using flawed data. Isn't that kind of a broken system?
Yeah. You know what's so funny is Jay Powell admitted it last week when he cut the rate 50 basis points. He literally said, "Well, the government's job state, it's not right. It's not right." But yet somehow, yeah, they're data dependent. They're supposed to be looking forward. They're always looking backwards, which, and of course, that means all you can do is be reactive instead of proactive. But let's face it, the central bank, the people that have run the Fed, they've thrown in the towel. You know, Alan Greenspan, you go back to the late 90s, during the good old times, you know, the debt was $4 trillion, $5 trillion. We're going to pay it off by 2010. Well, now look at it. The debt's almost $35.5 trillion. No one talks about balanced budgets. And the Fed now is cutting rates with GDP, according to the data, is 3%. And the unemployment rate's only at 4.2. That would have been, we need to raise rates in any other environment, but now they need to lower rates. And JR, they put themselves in a box. There's no good choice for them. They should have either fought inflation and tried to rein in the money supply and crash the economy, or what it looks like they've decided to do, let's just print money and print a lot of it and we'll blow it all up and then we'll bring in digital money later.
Oh, man. I mean, that's one of the things we've been railing on that. You know, we were 2.5 years ago when we started, we were hitting that executive order 14067. We're trying to explain to people that they have a plan. I mean, you know, you talk of them being reactive, not proactive. I'll tell you what, when it suits them, they are very much reactive. You know, the central bank digital currency, we're watching Wyoming right now and how close they are to having their own. I mean, you know, Fed now, we're watching all this stuff. We don't know how else it ends. I mean, obviously the big BRICS meeting on October 22nd, 3rd and 4th. So this is insane though.
Yeah, that's a big deal. De-dollarization's a real thing. The BRICS, especially over the last 2 weeks, they've released a lot of information about their bridge payment system that they're running through through the Bank of International Settlements. They're tokenizing. And now they're just debating. I think what we're going to see is the framework of how that currency is going to look. There's going to be the basket of BRIC nations with their own currency. They're talking about a percentage of that basket's going to be gold backed. Right now, people are throwing around 40%. I think that would be wonderful for me. I don't think that's mathematically possible, but we're going to see all of these nations. And by the way, there's 34 countries that have asked to join the BRICS on top of the 11 that are already part of the BRICS. And people just need to understand what those countries are trying to do is they just want to hold less dollar. And how right. do they hold the dollars? They hold it in treasuries. We need to sell trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And all of a sudden, you know, half the world doesn't want to buy as many anymore. It creates this unique problem, which is why you see the Fed just going in for money printing, because what else can they do?
Well, and I read something to the effect of what you just said. I read 40%, and then the other 60% will be their own currencies. Everything right. I've read says the dollar's out of it. We are done. You know, so this is Bretton Woods. I mean, this is the end of our reign. You know, and the, you know, Saudi Arabia taking off, you know, we're off the 50-year compact. I mean, it's all coming at once. And I wear a tinfoil hat. I mean, a lot of my life is, you know, I'm 20 years into thinking we're going the wrong direction. So, I mean, I'm really thinking that when everything hits, it's, you know, let me put it this way. Anthony came into the practice 6 years ago. He came in so one day I could go out. You know, it's a fourth generation family practice. And he came in thinking, well, you've been nervous my whole life. You know, there's always something to worry about. You worry too much. Well, at once he started, you know, when he was in the office long enough, he started researching and he realized, yeah, there's a lot on the table. My point to him was, you're absolutely correct. There's always something to worry about. Never this many. I mean, I think there's 10 things to worry about at once, and they're all hitting us. You know, if you've ever heard the show where we talked about the 10 pillars, we talk about 10 things to worry about. We got it from a client named Roger. He said, give me 10 things to watch. So we made a list. The thing that's missing from the 10 things, black swan events. I mean, we're missing things that nobody's watching. And it's, I mean, this is crazy. This doesn't end well. My problem is, I think we're at the beginning of the end right now, and it's going to hit us fast. I mean, we talk on the show about things, you know, with current events, you know, Haitians and Venezuelan gangs, and I mean, all the stuff we talk about, something is going to tip, and that will be the caveat to everything else tipping. And some of it's big. I mean, I think we are on the doorstep of World War III. I think we're on the doorstep of civil unrest. You said November 6th to watch. I mean, I think the bigger threat is before installation, around the middle of January. Yeah. I'd be where you're going to be. I'd be near your family. I mean, and it's all so interwoven at this point.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a really good point. And I've been doing this, like I said, a really long time. And it is. There's so many more things. You know, you talk about 10. We could probably rattle off 100 and not even break a sweat. And we don't know. Is it going to be a big event, a little event? What's the event that starts these dominoes to fall? I think that's the only thing that we don't know. What the problem is there's so many of them now. It's a matter of when versus if. And you mentioned war. I'll just say, usually when there's a big change in monetary policy, especially since central banks have been in power going back to the 1400s, usually war is what does it. You know, when you think you mentioned Bretton Woods, that was World War II, right? That's when everybody had to use dollars. People don't understand. Most people probably don't even know how important of a commodity crude oil is compared to anything else. The right. Second Saudi Arabia decides that we don't need dollars for oil, which they just conducted their first trade in Chinese renminbi a couple of weeks ago. That is a huge deal because of the amount of oil, the dollars in oil, it dwarfs all the other commodities. And by going into this BRICS bridge system, they can actually take what they can take Russian rubles, they can take renminbis, they can take euros, they can take Brazilian reals if they want to now, where people don't realize that up until, well, I want to say it was like 90 days ago, the only thing you could do with Saudi Arabia was pay in dollars. That is relatively a very new thing because they said they could take something else in dollars, but they actually didn't set anything up to get something else in dollars until they joined. They became an official member of BRICS, and now they joined the BRICS bridge payment system.
Well, and if half of the country just heard what you said, they would have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
All of this would be foreign to them. So, and I mean, you know, I hate to change the subject right away, but I'm going to bring you into something that we talk about all the time. I'm trying to watch the clock. I made an outline. I don't know if this will surprise you, but I've got pages of things that I want to get you to cover with us. So I'm going to change the subject because I know it's near and dear to your heart too. Let's go into banks for a second, if that's okay. We've got a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation that currently has 1.7% coverage on our money. There's no money. My understanding is next week, we're going to bring back, you know, we're on the fractional reserve system. Next week, we're going back to what, 4.5% reserves? Is that still the right number?
Yes, that is still the right number.
So think about that for a second. And if people listen to you, they already know this. If they listen to us, they've gotten a little bit of it. Since March of 2020, we have suspended the requirements on the fractional reserve system. It's been zero. So if you put a dollar in the bank, they can do it, you know, mortgage-backed securities, mortgages, reverse mortgages, derivatives, stuff that most people don't understand. So basically, it's at zero. They've been borrowing money from the government. And I think it's the same government that's $35 trillion in debt, but I'm not sure. Same one. We always tell people go on usdebtclock.org and kind of watch that fan spinning. So come October 1st, that's next week. And by the way, today is the 26th of September as we record. So next week, should that affect my money in the bank? Is there any reason people should be nervous about bank money starting next week?
Yeah, so I think that people should have been worried about it going back to obviously the original financial crisis, but going back to Silicon Valley Bank, that should have woke up a lot of people to the issue. And then the, you know, Silicon Valley Bank is a bank that 99% of the people had never even heard of because it really wasn't a very big bank. It was in Silicon Valley in Wall Street, and that was it. Just was a big hedge fund bank. Most people have never heard of. It only had $170 billion worth of assets. I mean, you think about, you know, JP Morgan's got trillions, right? And, The FDIC wouldn't have even been able to cover that bank. People need to understand that after the bailouts, they rewrote the rules that the next time it's going to be the depositors that are going to be on the hook for it. Unfortunately, you know, they raised the FDIC insurance to $250,000 after the financial crisis to try to make people feel good. Anybody that's got more than $250,000 in a bank, you're asking for your money to be taken from you. Unfortunately, for those people out there that maybe you have $100,000, $200,000 in the bank and you have it every month because you like it. You like to see it month after month after month after month. When these banks go, the FDIC doesn't have any money. The government doesn't have any money. The realities are going to be, this is how it's set up. Hey, you know what? You're going to have access to X amount, whatever that number, $10,000, $20,000. But you know what? You've got $200,000 in there, but you don't use it. You don't need it. We're going to borrow it from you. You still have it. You just can't use it. But sometime in the future, maybe later on, we'll tell you when you can have your money back. I mean, that's insanity.
Yeah, you're describing bail-in.
It just means the rules on money markets. Why? Because after Silicon Valley, everybody started moving their money to the money markets. So now the new rules on the money markets, hey, if there's a financial crisis again, at any time, the money markets, they can impose a fee for you to get your money out. They can say, no, you can't get your money out. And now number three, hey, it broke the buck like it did during the financial crisis. Let's just say you put $50,000 or $100,000 in your money market. Oh, we broke the buck today. You can't get your money out. No, by the way, that $100,000 is now only worth $90,000. Sorry. And you still can't have it. These are the rules that are in place, and most people don't even know it.
They know it if they get within 500 feet of me. I was managing a large account in Sun City in 2014 when they basically came out with the rules with gates and fees. And I know they're morphed now. And this account I managed when I took it over, it was $28 million. Other people's money, not an individual account. So here I am managing $30 million. And it has to be safe. I mean, we couldn't do stocks and bonds. So we were primarily money market money. Not exciting, but it was safe and it made a little bit of interest. Not much, of course. No, this is insane. You know, the word bail in, we've been shouting that word for so long. We've been pointing out Dodd-Frank regulations to people. You need to understand it. The problem with all this stuff, it's not exciting. It's not fun. It's easier to put my head in the sand. I'm sure you're familiar with the term normalcy bias. It's a lot easier to be unaware, whether willfully or not. The problem is we're at the end of the line on so many things, and we're going to get a nasty surprise. So,
and you brought up SVB a couple of times. Most of that money, I would say 90%+ of that, wasn't even supposed to be covered from the FDIC,
right. Which
means that the government came in and bailed them out after promising no more bailouts. So it shouldn't have been covered. And you're right, they don't have that amount of money to cover it. And we look at their quarterly reports every time they release it. And I was waiting for funds to be pulled for these big bank failures. But all of a sudden, I'm watching them grow. Like, how are they growing their reserves if they're bailing out these massive banks? Where is that money coming from? It's coming from the additional $5 billion in debt.
Well, there's no money. It's just piling debt on debt. We're in a debt-driven system. You know, we have a client, Art, if you're listening, a shout out to you. Art has been through three bank failures. I've been through one. So, Joe, my next-door neighbor right now is NextCare Urgent Care. It used to be Desert Hills Bank. I was there on the Friday afternoon when the SUVs showed up. I actually got to see a FDIC takeover. It was wild. You know, I, as a show of good faith to my neighbor, I had $5,000 in an account there. And I was like, well, where's my money? I'm texting Maria. Wait, you know, what's going on? But anyway, so our client Art, who's been through three, he was through Washington Mutual, Pacific Security out of California, and Independent Bank. He is very aware. He's watching things closely. Most people are not. So we have some breaking news. This is just in from Anthony Correo, one of the Rochford Associates people. I had said 1.7% coverage on your money. Apparently, the Q3 report is out and it's gone down. They now have
1.17.
Whatever I said. Who gives a
shit? Now it's 1.21. See, they're getting better. As we speak, The FDIC is just getting better with their reserves. So there's nothing to worry about now. They're at 1.21%.
So, but it went down. Yeah. I said it wrong. It was 1.6. If it's under 2%, you know what? If it's under 90% and I'm caught blindsided because I didn't know what a bail-in was, I've never looked at Yemen or Greece or maybe Venezuela or Brazil or Argentina or Detroit, Michigan. If I have no clue what's going on and I can't have 90% of my money, I'm going to panic.
No, Yellen said a president. Or precedent. They're going to bail you out regardless. You don't need FDIC insurance because the government is rich and they'll print more money. Don't worry about inflation. It's transitory.
And Joe, you're taking a big chance by being on another money show because the odds of you being picked up in a van with blacked out windows later today are bad. Because once we start talking about Jared Bernstein, Janet Yellen, we start talking about the amazing Jays, it gets really, I mean, we have started this show by slamming the IRS. The public, you know, I mean, and it's so funny because when I can make my way to your website and I see the stuff you put out, we're like twins. We are brothers from other mothers, you know, and I'm going to switch gears to something a little more fun, but you definitely are going to be kidnapped or abducted later today. But let's go for a second to the people that don't really have to worry as much about a bail-in. Let's talk for a second about Nancy Pelosi and the Pelosi family. So my understanding, I mean, and you know, we're a financial show, so let's tie this into some finances. Visa, tell us a little bit, Joe, about what's going on.
I got to tell you right now, where's the Paul Pelosi ETF? Because that's where I want to be. Where's the Paul Pelosi ETF? He's done it again. Apparently, a hammer to the head did not affect his ability to see the future. So 2 weeks before Visa gets hit with some DOJ antitrust, Pelosi just decided, you know what? I made enough money, dumped his Visa stock. And once again, I'll just say this. That's the guy. If you're going to follow somebody, I think that's the guy to follow. I don't know that he's ever made a bad trade.
No, he's pretty good at this. We've tried to get him on the show a bunch of times, but so far to no avail. You know, Anthony for a while had money in the ETF. What was it, Anthony, the Jim Cramer?
There was a short of anything Jim Cramer suggested, and it got carried just like the regular S&P 500 based on, you know, those select seven companies out there that are going up. But otherwise, they were making a fortune. And there is a Nancy Pelosi ETF out there, and it's up 50% since it came out in 2023. So NAMC is your Paul Pelosi trading desk.
Let's do this. We got to take a break. So this is fun. We're going to come back and do some more of it. Thank you so much for being with us at Always. We're Another Money Show. You can reach out to us, team@anothermoneyshow.com, or you can call us at 623-523-0444. If you want to get a hold of Joe directly, and I recommend you do that kind of quickly, he's at allamericangold.com or 1-800-951-0592. We'll be right back.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. You're listening to Another Money Show. No, that's the name of the show. Another Money Show. And now another money-making round with JR and Anthony.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to join us. Don't forget, if we gave you too much on Saturday, you can hear this re-aired tomorrow at 1 o'clock right here on 960 The Patriot. And you can find us on any of your favorite podcast platforms on our websites also. But thanks for being here. So to finish up the whole Nancy Pelosi thing, you know, Nancy has blocked regulation to keep our elected officials, the powers to be. There's been legislation. I think she's even submitted some of it over the years to try to look like she's above board, and then she shoots it down. The problem with this country, I think it's pretty evident and clear. The rich are getting richer, the poor hover, and the middle class are shrinking. It's just so in your face. We've got our buddy Zelensky. He's in town. Zelensky's in town. The window on his gravy train is closing. If Harris doesn't get into office later this year, Zelensky's going to be, we're going to need a GoFundMe. We're going to need to pass the hat for that poor young man. So he's in Washington, at least yesterday when I looked, asking for more money. Biden saying yes. They're going to say it's for, you know, weapons because we're not close enough yet to World War III. So, you know, Russia's saying they're going to nuke us, which I don't think they will. I think they're just going to shut down our power grid.
Their social security is broken. We need to fund it.
Yes, we're funding their pension. While our Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security is completely defunct and about to change in a big way, let's make sure the Ukrainians get theirs. Now, this visit, and I just love it. He comes here to ask for money. You could do it via Zoom. I mean, you could actually stay there. And so he's on our military aircraft going to Pennsylvania. He's on the taxpayer dime. This part is not so funny to me. As much as all of this is kind of funny to me, this person is in, I don't know, it was Pennsylvania or something, asking for money, but he's also stumping for Harris. We are literally on the doorstep to World War III. And this person's over here, not only asking for money, but he's doing political stuff. And Joe, I mean, I know you know this, but people listen to us know this. Who the hell's running the country? You know, I've been
well, that's a great question, right? It's never been Joe Biden. I think we all know that. And it is. He was in Pennsylvania where there's a munitions plant that makes ammo that we send to Ukraine. So he stopped by there, not on accident, that it was Pennsylvania, one of the battleground states. And like you said, listen, people, I don't think people realize a lot of the money. Yeah, we give them all the weapons and all that stuff. We pay for their entire government. Let's face it. I think everyone, you know, knows why this is just part of the MO of politics in this country anymore is, hey, you know what? It's going to be a close election. Who knows what's going to happen? Let's see if we can, pull on enough heartstrings and maybe there's enough people that sympathize with Ukraine and Pennsylvania that, Harris can win by 3 votes.
That's insane to me. Absolutely insane.
Well, I voted for her 3 times, so.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. You know, on the 3 different
I'm
names.
Here to make change. Yeah.
I'm from Chicago. You're an amateur.
A lot of Haitians are voting right now after they have their dinner of dogs and cats. Then they go cast their vote.
And speaking of which, I mean, you notice how that died down. But if you're like I am and you search through things, that is not over. We're sending a bunch of money to different cities, Aurora, Colorado. I'm looking at you, Springfield, Ohio. We're sending troops. We're sending troops to Israel in that area. We're spread really thin. And, you know, when you say that they have no money over there, I don't know, $35 trillion. It almost seems like we're getting a little slim over here, too. But what do I know? You know, record defaults on auto loans and subprime auto loans and credit card defaults and all kinds of problems in this country. You know, if we do go south, if the dollar goes south, if it gets really bad and we have social credit scores, I'm going to give you old episodes of Joe's show and our show and let you know that you had 2.5 years with us. And I mean, what, 20 years with Joe, you've had ample warning. And by the way, people are like, well, you know, you're a financial advisor. You know, well, I'm not a good one, apparently, because I'm really, really nervous right now. I don't think you should have stocks, bonds, banks. I think the major food groups are in trouble right now. You know what I think you should have? I think you should pay down debt. I think you should have hard assets. When I talk about hard assets, if you're so inclined, I think you should have guns and ammo. I think you should have food and water. I think you should have alcohol and tobacco, even if you're non-drinker and non-smoker. I think you should call Joe. I think you should hedge every bet there is right now, because the stuff with Ukraine, the stuff with the Middle East, everything is out of control. The bottom line of all of it is money. So while this country has no money, we're still the shining, we're still the world's police. We're
Ponzi schemes work as long as people keep buying in. And Joe mentioned it earlier. If they stop buying in, especially, you know, starting with oil in Saudi Arabia, this is where that tipping point is.
Yes. And whether it tips and then it takes 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I just know things are amiss and you better take care of your house. So let's, and you know what, as I'm on the hard assets thing, let's talk for a second about your wheelhouse. I mean, this is your time to shine, pardon the gold and silver pun. So, I mean, I remember hearing, and I haven't heard it from you lately, because it's probably a little bit more of a daunting task, but you used to say you should have 1 ounce. I believe you were referring to gold. Somebody like me who's impoverished, you better make it silver. So, but I remember you saying 1 ounce of gold for every year you've been alive.
Yeah.
Is that still a goal? I mean, you're hit, what, 2,600 an ounce now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, almost 2,700. Right now we're like 2,670, something like that. And the idea really is pretty simple, because, you know, you look at, I almost look at it like Social Security. You know, obviously, The trust fund, there isn't one, but it doesn't matter. And what you get from Social Security doesn't buy anything. And I think it's going to buy even less and less and less as time goes on. And by the way, get ready. Before 2030, we will have an increase in the FICA tax and probably a cut in benefits, probably a combination of both. But what I liken it to is being able to say, hey, if you got an ounce of gold for every year you've been alive, you can live, right? You can live off of that. And it's funny, when I went 20 years ago, you got $300. Right now today, if you bring me an ounce of gold today, right, hey, it's $2,600-$2,700, and that kind of tells you what inflation's really done. What it cost of $300 in 2003 probably cost $2,600-$2,700 today, and really it allows you to stay whole. It allows you to have a lot more buying power. And I tell people, you know, I've got so many people now. We've been around a long, long time, since 1996. We've got a lot of people. That's their retirement. This is what they do. They sell an ounce of gold a month. You know, you got to think about it. An ounce of gold for every year you've been alive. If you need, if you need $2,700 a month, well, you better have a lot of gold to accomplish that, because it's one of those things where when we originally were talking about it, the thought was, hey, maybe you sell an ounce of gold every quarter. You need 4 ounces of gold every year. Well, that gave you 16 years after you turned 65. That was kind of the premise for that. And as a supplement to whatever the pittance you're going to get for Social Security. And nowadays, I still think that holds true.
So, and let me, while we're on this, let me ask you a couple of questions about the practicality, about, you know, logistically how it works. I know right now people can have purchased precious metals anywhere over the years. They go to you. You're always looking to help them out. Yep. My experience in the limited research that we've done, you are very fair. Yep. I mean, you're trying to help people. My question is this. Right now, everything's working like it always has. If they need to retire using their gold, they can come see you. Let's say the you-know-what hits the fan and things are sketchy. My guess on precious metals, if we have civil unrest, for example, around the time of the elections, probably sit tight in your house. Probably it's better off if you had some food and water and guns and ammo. Yeah. But when the dust settles, I don't think the country goes the way of Rome overnight. So when the dust settles, what is it? Is it barterable? I've always heard that, you know, 10-12% of the country owns barterable amounts of gold and silver. So is it, there's going to be a pocket of wealthy because of gold? Do they plan on literally living on it? Is that our new currency?
So what are your thoughts? Here's the thing, you know, you bring up some really great points. So I use this analogy a lot. 10% of our customers are preppers. Hey, I think I need, I'm storing, and they mostly like silver, fractional gold, smaller pieces in case they, you know what, the power's out, the biker gang or the local militia, whatever, is going to be in charge. And if I need to get something, I don't want an ounce of gold because I'll just rob me for it. I've got some silver dimes, silver quarters, what have you, things of that nature. 10%, hey, I'm really wealthy. I just want as much gold as I can get. For the cheapest price possible, which is always, you know, the 1 ounce, you get coins, bars, what have you. But then the funny part is the other 80%, or especially over the last 25 years, that 10%, those barter guys, they used to be the wackos. They're not so wacko anymore, right? A lot of our listeners are like, you know what? Hey, I want the cheaper price. But you know what? I also need this fractional stuff just in case, because social unrest isn't that far-fetched anymore. So the vast majority of our customers really do. They have a good variety. You know, and if we build portfolios, we do that a lot for customers. You'll have that in there, right? You'll have some fractional stuff. You'll have some silver, some fractional gold. And then, of course, the majority of it will be in those bigger pieces. But yeah.
Okay, one more thing. Let me take you negative for a second. So it was illegal to own gold, what was it, 1933 to 1974. I've had people ask me, you know, the government was out of control since the government's been the government, but now they're really out of control and now they're desperate and hungry. What are the odds of another gold seizure?
It was, you know, if you had asked me that 20 years ago, I would have said, oh, it's almost none, right? Because gold's not the money anymore like it was in 1933. That's come back now. That is, it's a definite possibility, especially when, you know, we talked about BRICS earlier, de-dollarization, having gold back. If with the debt, if we lose confidence of the world and being able to sell our debt, gold is going to be something the government's going to use to say, well, hey, we've got these gold-backed bonds now. So we and you know, we've got allegedly 8,000 metric tons of gold in our coffers. You know, they won't let us audit it, but they say it's there. But yeah, it's a possibility. Now, put it this way. I would have said less than 5% 20 years ago. I'd say there's at least a 20-25% chance that that actually could happen, because if we lose confidence in being able to sell our debt, they will go to gold to say, okay, well, these bonds we're going to sell, it's backed by gold, which, you know, back in the old days, why we closed the gold window in 71, the foreigners used to be able to, when they bought our debt, when the debt came due, when the treasury note came due, they could either get dollars from us for the treasury notes or gold from us from the treasury notes. Because we used to have 20,000 metric tons of gold after World War II. So many countries wanted, well, just give me the gold, that we stopped that practice in 1971.
So with the BRICS nations trying to build this currency that's supposed to be backed by gold, how are those countries handling gold now? Are they seizing?
Boy, it's on fire. This is part of the reason with this run-up in gold. So many countries that most of them, and when you look at who they are BRICS-leaning countries. Either they're a part of BRICS already or want to be a part of BRICS. The last several years, the amount of central bank gold buying has shattered the records, even going back to the 60s when they were all doing it back then. But, you know, Saudi Arabia, as an example, just increased their gold holdings over the last 2 years by 50%. I mean, and they didn't want anybody to know. They were doing it on the down low. One of the weird things about countries buying gold, it's on their honor. They can either report it or not. They don't have to tell you. We learn some of the countries, you know, China will tell us sometimes. Sometimes they don't. India, obviously a huge gold buyer. Russia's a huge gold buyer. Now we've had Saudi Arabia, UAE, who have joined BRICS. They're buying gold, and we're seeing now a lot of these countries that are applying to gold for gold BRICS membership. Malaysia comes to mind. Thailand comes to mind. They're all buying gold.
Well, in China, I like that you brought up China. They're very forthright and above board. I trust everything they say.
Yeah.
So, did you hear they're raising their pension age?
Yeah. Anthony, you sent me an article this week on that. First time in a long time. So one more thing about the gold thing. So just a thought, if the odds are greater that they're going to seize it, and I'm going to be crude for a second, I look at it very much like, no, you're not. Like the Second Amendment, almost like come and take it. You're going to have to take everything. I mean, I've heard they can commandeer your food. My thinking is, no, this country, we didn't mismanage ourselves. You did. So if you say turn it, and I know Greece, before Greece had their bail-in, they started asking what precious metals holding you have on the tax return, and it's a scout's honor kind of thing. Are we going to do that here? That's a good indication that's coming. I think the government is so dysfunctional and scared and broken and hungry and angry. I don't think they'll put it on the tax return. I think they'll just make changes. I mean, I'm crazy though. I think UN troops are going to be here when the World Health Organization and the, you know, so, but I think if you're listening to the show and you don't think for the last 2.5 years that I've been crazy, say no. You know, the thing with the Second Amendment, Harris is tied, sorry to say the word, this administration is saying that we're looking into gun buyback programs. Here's a thought for you, guys. I didn't buy it from you, so you can't buy it back. So don't try to buy it back. How about no? Leave us alone. I think most people that listen to AM radio, especially, they want smaller government. They want to be left alone. Yeah. They think you've broken everything you've touched. So you're not going to take my goal to keep yourself floating. You're not going to take my guns to keep yourself safe. And like Anthony brought up, unless I have F-15s and nukes, I got a problem anyway. You know, I'm going to have to be shooting down drones. What's the next? Sorry, I get a little off track there. So, all right. And my thinking is you're right, Joe. I mean, I get a little bit nervous that they could try to seize things back. My personal feeling is everybody should say no. I think one day we have to say no to paying taxes. They've mismanaged it so bad. So,
you know, we saw with COVID, right? How many people, they didn't say no, right? They went and got shot up. They got back, they put the mask on and 6 feet, apparently, COVID knew. As soon as you sat down at a restaurant, you're at a restaurant, so it's okay to have your mask off. But if you got to go pee, you got to put it back on because the COVID virus knows when you're doing that. Same thing like with an airplane. You got to wear your mask on an airplane. But unless you're eating or drinking, then you don't have to have it on. I didn't know the virus apparently had intelligence that it knew, oh, well, you're eating right now, so I guess I'm not going to affect you. But the realities are this, especially with digital stuff. You talked about guns. Listen, you got to register to buy a gun. When you buy those guns, there's a record. The government's going to know it. With a digital currency, they hate cash. They want to get rid of cash, right? They could simply just say, listen, hey, I know you've got an AR-15 or you've got, whatever, an Uzi machine gun or an AK-47, whatever it is. We've turned your account off. When your wife goes to the grocery store to buy your groceries, she's not going to be able to do anything until we get that gun back or you prove to us that you don't have it anymore. That's a possibility. And it's funny. Same thing with, gold. You write a check, you pay for this. I don't know that. My guess is they'll offer more of a bribe that you can't refuse. People will be desperate. Let's just say as an example, okay, gold, $5,000. And they say, hey, we're going to give you 20,000 credits for you to turn your gold in. I think they'll get a lot of it that way. I think that would be the way they're going to do it. People are going to be desperate. They're going to need to eat. They're going to need to be able to feed their families. And a lot of them will do it willingly.
That makes sense. Example. You're right. I mean, with the COVID, 66% of the country just said, we trust you. Fauci, even though your mask is down at the baseball stadium, we know ours won't be. And I alienated my family to a certain extent. My wife was so mad at me. I'm at Walmart. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're telling me this is respiratory. And as long as I play like I'm at IKEA and walk this way, I'm fine. I got the skunk eye from everybody. I mean, we went to a PETA jungle one night, my own family. They're like, put your mask on. We're opening the door. I'm like, nah. I'm not playing their game. Nope. Not going to put the mask on. Let's switch gears. I always have articles to do for people. And I want your take on a couple of these because I think they're in your area of expertise. So here's an article from Zero Hedge from yesterday, the 25th of September. Sounds like corruption. FCC fast tracks Soros shortcut purchase of 200 plus radio stations. Do you want me to read any of this, Joe, or just let
I can tell you all about it. And this has to do, just so people know, I own a radio station in Colorado. So I actually know a lot about radio station rules. There's a procedure everybody has to follow. And in this case, with the Soros case, since they're a foreign entity, there's simple rules. They've been in the rules forever. And what's happened is the FCC and, the government, because Soros is a lefty, they want to essentially fast-track that and ignore the rules and allow him to buy them faster and not go through the whole process of announcing, A, you got to announce what stations you're buying. B, you've got to allow for people to comment as to whether you should be allowed to even own this many radio stations and give public comment. They want to waive all that stuff and just say, oh, here you go. Here's your 200 stations.
Well, part of that, too, is I thought they can't own because of their percentage of foreign ownership.
Yeah, so you have to go through that process to do it. And the other thing, they used to have rules in place with media. You only could own X amount of the population. So I'll use TV because it's an easier example. If you own television stations in New York, LA, and Miami, okay, in Chicago. Well, okay, that's too much of the, that's all you can own because there's too much of the population. They got rid of those rules in the early 2000s. That's why you see companies like iHeart and Salem that all of a sudden they bought hundreds of radio stations, or Gray Television, who owns 140 local television stations. That used to be illegal. You weren't allowed to do it. The government now has essentially, like everything else, the bigger you are, the better. Get rid of competition.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and I mean, obviously,
monopolies.
And the reason that people are, you know, talking about this a little bit is the timing with the election, the timing of lowering 50 basis points. Everything seems to be right on cue. Obviously, you know, we're worried about EEE and MPOX and COVID, the new COVID and all that. It just, you know, what Gavin Newsom in California is going to make it illegal to use anything with AI and deep fakes. And, you know, you can't have a fake Harris ad. We are losing our rights. I mean, our First Amendment is going away so fast. The First Amendment said that we have freedom of speech, right? Religion. We can assemble as long as it's peaceably. COVID threw that out the window. Yeah. Well, the First Amendment does not say unless there's a virus. I mean, when if you look at what's going on, half the country is going to be shut down. And I think they're going to try to literally do it in the next 2 months. I mean, they're going to shut down a port. I mean, there's all these things that I'm watching like, holy cow.
I mean, look at Bill Gates. He wants to ban people from the internet if you disagree with him on vaccines, right? I mean, apparently that's now in there too, right? Right in the Constitution, it does say you got free speech unless Bill Gates says so. I'm sure that's in there as well.
Well, yeah. And again, part of my frustration, part of why we come on every week, wake up, people. Half the country doesn't even know this is going on. You know, I was looking at the donor roll to the different parties this morning, and I was looking at the leader in donations to the Democratic Party. By far, Google. Google has such a stranglehold on our search. They know our patterns, that everything is skewed. And I really believe that this is all meant to bring us down. It's like you said, I mean, a war would be a good diversion. And then I think the stock market fails, the housing market fails. I think they usher in a digital currency. The rest of the world doesn't care what we do. I mean, we can keep shoveling money. We can do whatever we want. The rest of the world is going to move on without us at this point. So I don't know how all this ends, but it's not good. And week by week, you know, yeah. I mean, for us, I mean, we're not radio people. We're financial guys. We look at statements. This is not our natural calling. We do not run out of information. We have never run out of stuff to talk about every week, brand new stuff. So I know time's getting short. There's something that I've learned from you that I've never had a good handle on, and I know I bobbled it on one of our episodes. Can you give us a quick, easy explanation on bond auction tails?
Yes. Okay. Really simple. When every day we sell bonds, yesterday as an example, we sold 70 billion five-year notes. Okay. So, what they do is they price the note. You know, you follow the 10-year. Let's use a 10-year-old because that's easy. It's on the TV all the time. The 10-year note's 3.8%. And let's just say today we had to sell 70 billion in 10-year notes. What the government wants is for it to sell all of that 70 billion at 3.8. Even better if someone would bid less. That would be even great. Hey, someone wants to bid 3.7. Great. Everything's blind. So all these places submit their bids. And the government takes the best ones. So in other words, the government's going to say whoever wants to buy at the least amount of interest possible, we're going to fill it. What happens is there's not enough buyers at 3.8. Then it's 3.1, 3.2, 3.81, 3.82, 3.83, 84, 85, 86, until they sell all of the bonds. That's called the tail. The longer the tail, the worse the auction was. With another words, the people buying aren't willing to loan the money to the government at the rate the government wanted, and it gets worse. And we used to never have tails at auction. They used to be very, very rare. Now we have tails at almost every auction. We did actually have an auction sold on the screws the other day, that which we hadn't seen in a long time, which means it actually sold for what the government wanted it to sell for. But those are few and far between. All your listeners need to know, the bigger the tail, the worse it is.
Well, there's less of a demand for the dollar now. It's going away. But anyways, I want to say thank you again for being on our show. That is it for today. If you like what you heard, you have questions about any of the topics, if you want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can find us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. On the web, anothermoneyshow.com. Check out Joe Jaquint. Is it 9 a.m. on 10 a.m.?
Yep, every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 at 10 a.m.
Beautiful. Well, I think we'll have a lot of crossover with listeners. I think our listeners will really enjoy your show. So that's all we've got. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
God bless everybody. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.